When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Awardist, where we're chatting with the actors, creators, and more who are contenders this year, and specifically today, breaking down the state of the 2024 Oscars race and those nominations this week. I'm Entertainment Weekly Executive Editor Jared Hall, and joining me is EW's Oscars expert, Joey Nolfi. Joey, first, are you recovered from Tuesday?
It's a new day in the workroom. It's a bright, sunny day after Oscar nominations, and we've got things to talk about.
We have so many things to talk about. Because this year's nominations, first of all, I want to start off with some congratulations to all of the nominees, and specifically want to shout out some of the people who, most of them. That's fair. I want to shout out some of the people who, they weren't necessarily a mainstay as part of the conversation. They weren't people we were talking about all the way back in September, though. Once people really started to see their films, they became more and more part of the conversation, and some of them were some late surges. I'm thinking of Sterling K. Brown, who is very good in American Fiction. He's good in everything, honestly. This of course is a guy who's has two Emmys to his name. And he's quite good in this film. Congratulations to him. America Ferrera also got in for Barbie. This is one we've been talking about all season long, not necessarily thinking that she was going to get in, but there's a lot of sentiment around her, around that big speech. And she was out a lot this season. I saw her at a lot of events, and I think she got to talk to a lot of people. I don't want to use the words paid off, but it resonated and it lingered with people. And there's something to be said for that. Jonathan Glazer getting in for directing The Zone of Interest. Joey, this is one that you from the very early in the season, before really anyone had seen this film, you were encouraging people to not forget about the international faction of the Academy.
Yes. And I went back on my own intuitions. I do this every year. I do it literally every year I do this, because even down to the night before, I was saying to myself, should I swap out Greta for Justine Triet or Jonathan Glazer? And I was like, no, just I always pick what I think to be the safe option. And I think what I have to keep doing is telling myself that the safe option is the opposite of what your intuition says is the safe option.
But do you think that only holds true for the director category?
No.
Or do you find that to be the case elsewhere?
Elsewhere, but specifically the director category, it is the wisest to do that in the director category, because as this branch has shown us, even before the Academy started inviting a radical large number of international and diverse people into the director's branch, the director's branch would often go out and do like a weird one-off nominee. I'm thinking of someone like David Lynch from Mulholland Drive, there was always that weird one director nomination, and we've been seeing it so much more in recent years, but it's skewing heavily European. And I think that's due to the massive influx of different creative perspectives that the director's branch has been welcoming in recent years. But I think you can also look at the other acting categories, or the other categories such as acting, where this is also having an impact as well. It's funny because I think the least affected category of this is Best Picture. Best Picture, everybody sort of can coalesce or can align on these nominations. Like, I mean, top 10 for Best Director, pretty much everybody got those right. Those were very clear.
Let's say what they are. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Yes. And, but I think to answer your question before, you can also see this happening in the acting branches. I know I always go back to these people, but I'm going to add another name into this mix too. Gaga for House of Gucci, Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers, and I'm going to also add Katrina Balfe for, Belfast. Why am I forgetting the name of that movie? Belfast. I think that these are actors that this new class of Academy members, including actors, views as these sort of popular, like, I mean, Katrina's on this TV show that, for better or worse, like, I mean, a lot of highbrow people don't necessarily look at that show as a huge, respectable body of work. They view it as a popular work. They view Jennifer Lopez as a pop artist. They view Gaga still as a pop artist, which I think you can also look back at to somebody like Barbara Streisand and, and a lot of the nominations that she should have had over the years and people sort of dismissing her as just a popular figure.
A singer,
so I think the sentiment carries through there. And I think that's how you explain why Margot Robbie did not get in for Best Actress.
By the way, before we really dig into Margot and all of that, I do want to point out Best Director, four of the five are European. Martin Scorsese is the only one who's not. You mentioned Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
Excuse me, Italian excellence? What are you talking about?
Right? Well, right, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
Justine Triet.
But Justine for Anatomy of a Fall, that is a French film. Oppenheimer is an American film. Poor Things is, you know, an American-made film. Zone of Interest is international film. A24 distributed, but it is considered an internationally produced film.
Yes.
So yeah, that category is so interesting to me this year, and it's a category that I think. There are so many worthy directors who could have gotten in. You know, Alexander Payne did not. Celine Song did not for Past Lives.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's Greta Gerwig. I know you mentioned Margot. I want to circle back to
you
her
ready
in a
for
second.
It, Jared?
Okay,
you ready?
But so here's the thing. I think congratulations to her and Noah Baumbach on the adapted screenplay nomination for Barbie. It's funny because Joey, very early in the season, and I mentioned this on our Twitter space, X space, whatever the hell it's called, the other day, that very early in the season, we were referring to this as a potential adapted screenplay nominee, and we were very kindly notified that, oh, this is actually an original screenplay. I was like, well, yeah, it is, but it's based on existing IP. And it's such a fine line there. And the Academy ended up saying, no, because it is IP, we have very strict rules about that. It has to be adapted. So congratulations to them on that screenplay nomination.
Yes.
Because here on this podcast, we talk a lot about precursor nominations, which Greta was part of almost all of. Not to mention the artistry, the craftswomanship that she oversaw in bringing this story to life. I don't per se subscribe to the notion that just because it is the biggest money-making film of the year that you should be a Best Director nominee, but for so many reasons about what she did in the construction of this film, I think it's absurd that she is not a Best Director nominee. I think it's a category that actually could have included three women. I would not have been upset at all if Celine Song got in there. She is a screenplay nominee, but I think that film is just, it's beautiful, and there's a lot of great stuff going there for it. But anyway, those are my thoughts on why I think it's absurd that Greta is not a nominee, because of what she did as a director. Take it away, Joey.
Yeah, I think that, no, I agree with you. I think that she, it's a titanic achievement what she did with this film. And I think a lot of it, the reason why it is a success is attributable to Greta and her vision. Yeah. And I think she had a big hand in selling this movie too, like as to what it was going to be.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it's not an easy sell as a concept.
No, and I think it was a risky film.
Right. You can see her vision from everywhere, from like the marketing to the way they're talking about it in interviews to just the way the movie plays. It's a brilliant film. But the issue that I have with the narrative surrounding this is I understand that we're frustrated that a very deserving, amazing, accomplished director did not get in to this category. But I think it starts to become a problem when we talk about it as if with the easy, I hate to say excuse, but the easy explainer of they didn't nominate her because she's a woman. I think that that is a disservice to Justine Triet.
Justine Triet, yeah.
I think that, you know, while I didn't like Anatomy of a Fall, I've been very vocal about that. I did not like that film. I thought it was incredibly boring. I famously told Jared that if he wants to sit in a courtroom for 3 hours and watch
and
boring,
I do.
Poorly
I loved
shot
it.
Drama, he should commit a crime and go do that. But
maybe I have.
But you're going to, well, like you famously did threaten to push me out a window. But on that note, I think that it gets into this very weird territory where I read a tweet online that said something like, the reason that the Academy didn't nominate Greta and Margot is actually also easily explains why we're not in the eighth year of Hillary Clinton's presidency. And I also saw somebody else say that they want to push the Academy out a window, like Anatomy of a Fall. They were like, if only Barbie had pushed someone out a window, or if only Barbie had and like inserted her into all the other plot lines of the films this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, so you're literally looking at these two women and you are telling the one woman that she mm-hmm. is not up to your standard of what you think a female director should be. So therefore she should be swapped out for the more consensus mm-hmm. commercially
and
appealing
commercial
film,
right? Yep.
That woman is more deserving of this other woman. That to me is a bigger disservice to approaching this with a feminist yep. outlook than saying, well, the Academy didn't nominate her because she's a woman. I think yep. that it's misguided. I think that it's just not factual. I mean, the directors, I think if anything, this proves that the directors, they're voting on what they like and what they like only. And mm-hmm. I mean, that is not saying, I mean, we operate in this, covering this industry every single day. We see that there is misogyny and we see that that is a very real thing that exists in this industry. But I think specifically to this situation, there is a more nuanced conversation to have about why Greta Gerwig didn't get in versus the easy explainer of, well, she just mm-hmm. didn't get in because she's a woman. It's more yeah. complex than that. And it's go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I do want to get into that complexity. I do just want to also make sure everyone knows who, because you're talking about the director's branch of the Academy.
Yes.
Their nominations, by the way, do not match up with the DGA nominations, where
right.
Greta did get in, as
exactly.
well as Martin Scorsese, Yorgos Lanthimos, and Christopher Nolan, but
Alexander Payne
got in
yeah.
at DGAs. So right. there was actually a two-person swap there. So with them, all of
and
that said, and these complexities you mentioned, what do you really think it boils down to about why Greta did not get the nomination this year?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about with Gaga, Jennifer, Katrina, and Margot. I think that because you also look at somebody like Ben Affleck for Argo, who did not get in for Best Director,
right.
even though he got in at the DGA. He won DGA that year, I think.
Yeah.
I think that as the director's branch is inviting even more international taste, they are one of the most rapidly diversifying in terms of where their members originate from, branches in the entire Academy, if not the most rapidly inviting alternate perspectives into this branch. I think that sort of sentiment explains it. That's the reason mm-hmm. why Ben Affleck didn't get in. That's the reason why Bradley Cooper didn't get in this year, despite Maestro getting in for a bunch of other
yeah.
unexpected nominations. I mean, they're viewing these people as more popular figures, and they're not seeing them for their artistry. That's the problem.
Is there anything that can be done about that?
I don't think so. I think the direction is a very the way that it's going, no. I mean, would I like there to be something done about it? Absolutely. Do I think that the Academy on the path that it's going right now? No, I don't think anything can be done, because what have we been hearing for the past 10 years? Diversify the Academy, bring in new perspectives, mm-hmm. change it up. The Academy has gone above and beyond to try to do that. And here we are 10 years later, and it's still happening.
Yeah.
These people vote for what they like. They vote in their own vacuum. They don't care what's going on. As we see with the secret ballot every year, they don't care what's going on social media. They don't care what's going on in the news. They watch what they watch. They like what they like. They vote for what they vote for.
Mm-hmm. You brought up a very interesting film, Argo. As you
Which
noted,
I did not
Ben
like,
Affleck,
by the way.
But that aside, Ben Affleck did not get a directing nomination, but it did get a Best Picture nomination, and
it won.
It won.
Yeah.
Patrick Gomez, our editor-in-chief, brought that up. Well, not necessarily brought up that example, but he did bring up on our live post-nominations reaction the other day that he wouldn't be surprised if we see something happen where there are enough people mad and pissed off, because now keep in mind, for the final voting, everybody votes. It's not limited to the members of the branch, that Barbie could.
Don't say what I
he
think
wouldn't be
say.
Surprised. He didn't. It doesn't necessarily say it will happen, but he would not be surprised if Barbie then takes Best Picture. It sounds like you do not subscribe to that notion.
Oh, my dear Patrick.
It feels like such a little like a pat on the head you're
Patrick.
Giving him.
Yeah, I've never heard Patrick has not expressed that to me. I was, unfortunately, I was working on our Oscars coverage yesterday,
yes,
so I could not join the space. But if I had been on that space, I would have also said to Patrick that I did not agree. I don't think there's any. Because we see it, people say that somewhat every year, I think, for other things. And like, oh, maybe there's going to be a sort of retaliatory vote for other things. But I think that just goes against what I was just saying, is that I think these people, they don't care what's going on sort of in this pop culture sphere. They kind of just vote the way that they want to. And we haven't really seen any major snub. Like, a lot of people are also talking about Little Women the year that Greta didn't get nominated for that, which, I mean, just in terms of pure statistics, you looked at what was getting nominated that year and people were not voting for Greta Gerwig elsewhere for Little Women. So that was not necessarily a surprise to people who were watching the Oscar race that year. But there was a lot of that same, talk online of maybe a comeback vote.
Right.
Surging for Little Women elsewhere, and it just didn't happen. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be interesting if that happened, and I don't want it to seem like I am throwing Patrick under the bus here. But,
you don't see a world where it will happen, but sure, there's a slim possibility.
Jared, there's a possibility for everything. There's
everything.
A possibility
a possibility that the holdovers could win. There's a possibility that Killers of the Flower Moon could have a new surge. Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of possibilities.
Or that Past Lives, the best film, or no, actually, well, Poor Things, I think, is my favorite of the nominees. But Poor Things and Past Lives, I think, are my two favorite of the Best Picture nominees. Yeah. I think, if anything, people should be looking at Poor Things as to potentially win some unexpected awards. I think that Poor Things has more of a chance than Barbie, for sure. I actually think Barbie is on the lower end of, I think it's like third to last or second to last in terms of what's going to win Best Picture. If I had to rank them in terms of likeliness. But yeah, Poor Things, I mean, that got, was it 11?
Second most, yeah.
Yeah. And Emma Stone, I think, actually is, well, we'll get into this later, but I think Emma Stone is going to win Best Actress.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into those nominations in just a bit, because I do want to circle back now. We've kind of passingly mentioned Margot Robbie a few times, who, by the way, is a nominee for Best Picture. She's one of the driving forces behind getting Barbie made. But as its lead actress in the titular role, she did not get nominated. The nominees in that category are Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Ulla for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. So,
did you notice Jack Quaid saying it the same way you do? I thought of you when
Sandra
Jack Quaid read Sandra's name. Yeah,
yeah. I was in his ear. I told him how to say it. We had a little earpiece. Here's the thing. I think when you put Margot's name up against those five performances, actually, I'm going to say four of those five performances.
I was going to say, you better say only four.
Yeah, four of those five performances. It's really tough, because there are really, to me, there are nine people who could have been nominated for Best Actress this year.
Fantasia.
And so, yeah, Fantasia, Greta Lee. Yeah, I know. There are so many fantastic performances this year. And so that's where it becomes really tough in this category for me that and I think Margot's great in the movie. She grounds it. She is its beating heart when there's all this, you know, all this other stuff going on around that character. She keeps it centered. And I don't think that was really an easy job. And especially with a character that, you know, there are opinions about whether there even should have been a Barbie movie. And so I think she was fantastic in it. But compared to four of these five nominees, I have a hard time saying that she should have been nominated. But then on the flip side, which is, I think I've said this to you a few times here on this podcast, my fear is that Ken gets nominated and Barbie doesn't.
I think and everybody had just, that fear, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a weird, icky feeling.
Well, I don't know, because I think you look at the structure of the movie itself, and the structure of the movie itself is sort of elevating Ken to that level. I don't know that the structure and the screenplay of the film is necessarily anti-Ken. It's not at all. I think that,
and Greta will tell you that too. We weren't setting out to make an anti-Ken film,
right? Yeah. And I think that you know if this was a gender neutral awards body such as Indie Spirits, I think the argument would be easier to wrap my head around of comparing those two things. But I just think you're voting, and it's two different categories, two different sets of contenders. It's not easy to just say, well, one got in, the other didn't get in, on the same standards or parameters. There's different factors to consider for each category for the actors who were voting. And I mean, Annette Bening, who I am extremely confident, I would bet anything that the five and six slots on this were Annette and Margot. That people voted for Annette because she is part of the why am I forgetting the name of the organization? The Actors Fund? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yes,
the Actors Fund. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of work with that. She does a lot of good for actors. She has an overdue narrative. She's in a movie that was very physically demanding. It was a physically demanding part. It's very externally. You look at her. She looks not like she normally looks. She is. I mean, the movie itself is not a good film, but it's one of those films that does leave even somebody who doesn't care for the craft behind the film. You can sense why that movie is inspiring to people. And why it makes them feel a certain way. So it's almost like they're voting for the feeling that the character made them feel versus the actual work that I think went into the film. Whereas Margot and Barbie, it's more like, well, there's not much of a transformation. She's beautiful. Yep. She's beautiful Margot Robbie playing beautiful Barbie. And I'm not saying I subscribe to that. I'm saying I'm trying to get into the minds of people who maybe pushed
Annette
over.
Worried that people thought perhaps wasn't a stretch for Margot to play that role.
Where that does get into, I think, more sexist thinking and misogynist thinking of like, oh, well, a woman playing beautiful, it doesn't require as much skill. I mean, and that's an issue to me. Because I think this is, in many ways, I think, the defining role of her career and will be for the rest of her career. This is, I mean, you watch it again and there's so many things that you miss when
seeing
this
nuance.
Big tentpole spectacle on the big screen for the first time. And then you go back and you watch it. And I get chills thinking about it, how good she is in this. It's not just, Barbie is not just, you know, this money-making blockbuster commercial movie. I think it almost became too big for its own good in these voters' eyes. And they just took it for granted and were just like, it's this huge Titanic monolith of a commercial film. And then they started equating commercial with generic. And I think that crept into a lot of voters' minds.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about why, or, you know, I was mentioning why America Ferrera got nominated in that big speech.
Yeah.
What you're talking about with Margot, it's everything leading right up to the moment of that speech when you really look at Margot's performance in that moment. And it's like, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, the realization that this character has. And yeah, I mean, that alone, I think, is also like the pairing of that entire sequence is for me a reason why Margot could have and should have been nominated.
Yeah. I personally definitely would have nominated her over Annette, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm there with you on that. But again, I also wanted to see Greta Lee in there. So it's,
yeah, me
it's,
too. Me gosh, too.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
And it really makes me go back to my feeling that, like the Emmys, I think the Film Academy should adopt a process where the number of nominees is based on the number of submissions. Because
I agree.
Because when the Academy was formed and when the Oscars were formed, they said, we're going to have 5 nominees. Well, there were only like 30 to 50 movies made every year. And so, you know, that's a small percentage of those. Mm-hmm. There were 321 films submitted this year for consideration. So that 5 feels very insignificant
now. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, it just is. Yep. It's too stacked. There's too many submissions to consider and whittle down to 5. It's inevitable. So yeah, I do also like that. Because I think if there were 7 nominees in this category, we would have had, I think, Margot for sure. And then either, I think, probably what? Greta. Fantasia?
Maybe Fantasia.
Mm-hmm. Because Fantasia got in at BAFTA, so...
Yeah. And you know, there are some who I know they think that should not be the case because they think it waters down and it makes it insignificant.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think so. Just if you continue to look at the number of films that are made and submissions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a
wonderful point, Jared. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up because I never thought about that.
I'm going to keep campaigning for that.
Yeah.
At the Emmys, I'm going to keep campaigning for a dramedy category. There are, I'm sure these things get talked about, but it is a big decision for these, these academies to make. So
it's just funny that the Academy, like, everybody begs for the Academy to make like a stunt category or a casting category. And then all the Academy does in the past 10 years is like, we're going to consolidate sound.
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. What? Whereas all these other voting bodies, they do recognize stunts. Even the Screen Actors Guild, of course they do. Those people are SAG members. Mm-hmm. The Emmys recognize stunts.
The Academy doesn't recognize stunts. They just pull stunts.
Okay, well, one final note before we take a break. I do want to point out some of the reaction, the statements that came out after nominations. One person in particular, Ryan Gosling, he says he's extremely honored to be nominated by my colleagues, but there's such an important part of his reaction statement that I do want to read here. He says, I never thought I'd be saying this, but I'm also incredibly honored and proud that it's for portraying a plastic doll named Ken, but... there is no Ken without Barbie, and there is no Barbie movie without Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie, the two people most responsible for this history-making, globally celebrated film. No recognition would be possible for anyone on the film without their talent, grit, and genius. To say that I'm disappointed that they are not nominated in their respective categories would be an understatement. Against all odds, with nothing but a couple of soulless, scantily clad, and thankfully crotchless dolls, they made us laugh, they broke our hearts, they pushed the culture, and they made history. Their work should be recognized along with the other very deserving nominees. I want to applaud Ryan Gosling and his team for crafting the most beautiful shame on you statement I've ever read in my life.
Well, as Whoopi Goldberg said on The View in relation to this very topic, not everybody wins a prize.
No, that's very true. She also thinks that there is no such thing as a snub, which might just be a way to not drive oneself mad about the eventual snubs that do happen. It's, you know, maybe that's just her way of internalizing and getting through it. But
I'm just going to say that from now on, though, not everybody gets a prize.
It's so true. It's very true. Anyway, I just wanted to read that statement because it was my favorite of Oscar nominations day. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joey's going to offer up his predictions in 6 categories for the upcoming Oscars. Don't go anywhere, folks. The awardist will be right back.
I'm going somewhere.
Well, Welcome back to The Awardist. All right, folks, we have broken down our analysis of all of the Barbie controversy over Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie not getting nominated for director and actress, respectively. But now we are going to, Joey specifically, we're going to go through the top six categories, and Joey is going to give us his, as of right now, because things could change over the next, well, voting happens next month. Things could change over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So, Joey, let's start with Best Supporting Actress, where the nominees are Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Drum roll, give it to us. Who you think it's going to be?
Davine, for sure. I mean, she's swept everything. I think this is a category where they know Davine has been sweeping. Everybody's just going to check her off on that box. But also, can we say how sad it is that Danielle is the only nominee for Color Purple across the board? One Oscar nomination, just insane.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the original movie got 11 nominations, zero wins. And I'm sure some of them must have felt a little bit of a like, we want to right the wrongs of that. And it just kind of,
it's just criminal,
was wronged even more. Yeah. All right. So going with Davine for supporting actress, supporting actor nominees, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, the other Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Who you giving it to here?
Another Robert Downey Jr. is just sweeping everything. So unfortunately,
so you think this is a momentum thing?
Yeah, for sure. In both supporting actress and supporting actor. Yeah, momentum.
Yep. Okay. Best actress, Annette Bening, Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Ulla, Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan, Maestro, Emma Stone, Poor Things. This is going to be one of the Stones, right? Gladstone or the Stone?
Yes, it is going. I think it's going to be Emma Stone. I think that the tide sort of turned when she won Critics' Choice, and I think that people want, Killers also, I don't think the enthusiasm, even though it got 10 nominations, I don't think the enthusiasm is quite there as much as we thought it was for Killers, as seems to be the case for a lot of recent Martin Scorsese movies. Because I think, what was the one? The Irishman didn't win anything either. Yep. So, and Killers didn't show up in screenplay. So
screenplay.
I think as great as Lily's performance is, I think that there is more support across the board for what Emma had to do, again, because it's a performance you can see more, I think, than Lily's, even though they, both of them just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I will say, I think like Emma in Poor Things, that's where I think Ryan Gosling and Barbie, like he gives a performance. I feel like they, it's those two kids from La La Land, those two crazy kids putting on performances here. And by the way, I do also want to note Lily Gladstone, the first indigenous Native American person to be nominated for Best Actress. And let's hope she is not the last. But congratulations to her. And for Best Actor, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Is the momentum going to stay with Paul here, or will Cillian get in?
This is another tough one.
It's the two of them, right?
Yes, it's the two of them. This is another tough one. I think I'm going to go with Paul, just because I think there's... this is hard.
Well, and keeping in mind, very early in the season, this might have been back in September when we published your initial predictions, it was all about Bradley Cooper because that transformation and all of the work he put into this, and he's very good in the film,
but I just think, oh god, because it seems like maybe then if we predict Davine and Paul, it seems like the actors, there's more support there for The Holdovers, but are the actors also voting for the film that they feel is the best acting representation in Best Picture, or are they voting for what they actually like as the best film? That's always the difficult thing to gauge, but I'm gonna say Paul for now. I'm gonna go with Paul.
Could change. We'll see. All right. Director. We've mentioned them before. Justine Triet, Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest.
I mean, Mr. Nolan, there's no doubt there.
Yep. All right. And Best Picture, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Unfortunately,
the Oscar goes to
Oppenheimer. I hope that whoever announces it says it as enthusiastically as I just did. But I just
You know what? I one of my favorite announcements of a winner ever is Elizabeth Taylor at the Golden Globes the year Gladiator won.
What did Miss Taylor do?
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Or yeah, I so also like
someone give us an Oppenheimer. No.
I also it like won't. Jane Fonda's pause, and then she deserves an Oscar for that in herself. She just paused, looked up, Parasite.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Yeah. Someone could just say Parasite in place of Oppenheimer and describing Oppenheimer as a cinematic parasite. That's
Joseph.
That's accurate. Wow. That's accurate.
That is a real hot take.
I got a parasite from sitting on that movie chair for too long in the theater watching Oppenheimer.
Well, that's the fault of the theater chain where you went. Maybe go to cleaner theaters. Take a can of Lysol with you next time and spray down the seat.
You and Thelma Schoonmaker coming after me this year.
Oh, is Thelma on your tail? By the way, the most nominated editor ever got her, 10th, I believe? I think all of her editing nominations line up with Martin Scorsese's directing nominations, and he got his 10th this year. So
yeah, and I bet that incredible theater in Denver that she went after.
Oh, right. For the, I know, for, yes, for the,
for them to revoke her nomination.
Yeah. For putting in an intermission.
I mean, mess.
Yeah, I kind of don't blame them. Give people a chance to
pee.
Take a break and come back. Yeah, exactly. All right. So those are the predictions. Of course, those could continue to change over the next 4 to 6 weeks. We will have a lot more predictions coming to you throughout the season right here on the podcast and, of course, on EW.com. Make sure you visit the website to check out more on the snubs and surprises with this year's nominations, the nominees' reactions to their these honors they received this year and making the cut in a very tough field in many cases. And so much more analysis of this year's nominees. All right. Well, Joey, that is going to do it for us this week. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Jared.
Yeah. And thanks so much to all of you for listening. If you like what you're hearing here on The Awardist, you can follow and rate the podcast. And we would love for you to leave us an award-winning review on Apple Podcasts. And to keep the conversation with us going, you can follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials. We're at EW on X, formerly known as Twitter, and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag me at Jared Hall, and Joey is at Joey Nolfi. We'll see you back here next week and every day at EW.com. Joey, justice for
Penguin Bloom.
Oh, you're bringing it back. All right. That's fine. They're cute. They waddle off, just like we're going to do right now. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This episode of The Awardist is hosted and produced by Jared Hall and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening.